Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi.
How you doing today, Sugar Plum?
Oh, I am great, sir. I am great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Today, we have an amazing season finale episode. Everybody. Great season, and we've got, I think, a full month of reunions coming up, so that's still firing on all cylinders. So yeah. I'm excited. I'm just excited for it. And this weekend, I didn't do anything because we're still all stuck inside because of the stupid coronavirus.
Yeah.
So I made a lot of bread things. I made anything I could think of with carbs in it, and so that was my weekend, so I feel great.
I do have an announcement for the audience. This is actually pretty important. I'm calling my lawyer. You're all going to jail. You're all going to jail.
You touched me. Touch me.
I want to feel your body, and then you're going to jail.
You're going to jail, cha-cha. Wow, what a season finale, everybody.
Whoa. Seriously.
The clips of this have been going around for a week, and everyone's like, ah! And it's so much more fun that the violence, quote-unquote violence, was with the men, because...
Yeah,
you know,
and with Michael, specifically.
Yeah, and with Michael, because Michael... Chris is a fucker, too. Like, Chris is generally a fucker, too, but Michael... Oh, yeah. you
on the machine, Rose, on the machine.
So soap dish.
There's a giant squirrel outside my window. Enormous. I've never seen such a big squirrel in my life. Wow. That is a big squirrel. That is like the Chris Samuels of squirrels over there.
It's like, hello, I would love a nut.
Literally. So, Michael, I was very pleased with this because at first it looked like this big fight was going to be the product of editing, but then it was just as satisfying as I wanted it to be. It was really great. It was a great way to end the season.
Yeah, Michael just kept going and going and going, and then went after production.
Yeah. He was like he was a deranged lunatic. Michael is a gift that keeps on giving. I really hope Ashley and Michael come back next season because he just never seems to learn his lesson, and there's something like deeply entertaining about that. I mean, it's not entertaining for the people who like have to deal with him, but I think for the viewer, it's kind of like this amazing font of head-smacking behavior. We're like, really, Michael? You've been on this show for this... You've been on TV this many times. You still are surprised you're getting caught on camera doing things?
Well, actually, nobody in this cast learns their lesson. And it's really... It's a blessing because... Bravo has really been trying this thing where they're like, oh, he's changed. You know, Jax's whole redemption season, Shep's whole redemption season. All these people have all these redemption seasons where they're trying to convince us that they're changed. You know, whether it's getting a dog or getting a girlfriend, doing whatever it is. You know, it's like, I'm a different person now. This one, not doing that at all. You know, Michael's still cheating. Candace still screaming at people saying, come at me, or whatever she's saying. Karen's still just blatantly lying to everybody. Whoever's mistake that is, you know, choose sides. But
this is the mark of a great reality show is people just not learning their lessons. Speaking of which, you did mention Jax, and this is something that happened after we were done recording. Big news in the world of the Bravoverse. Jax was fired from Vanderpump Rules on Friday.
Yeah, Jax missed it. Brittany. Bye now.
Bye. Enjoy going on to a low-level reality show on WeTV. Bye.
Yeah, he's like, stay tuned. We'll be back.
Yeah. I think I've said it on the show before, or maybe it was on social media. My prediction is that they're going to wind up on Great American Country with their own stupid-ass show. I guarantee they're going to have a show. It's going to be like, oh, we moved to the country, we're having a baby, and we're building bassinets. That's what our new life is, bassinets full of Meemaw's beer cheese.
We're building them out of corn.
Yeah, it's going to be some stupid-ass thing.
Yeah, and then that's not going to work, and then they're going to go to marriage boot camp.
Yep. Well, the money is definitely going to run out, so that's going to be interesting, too.
The money is going up somebody's nose, okay? That is for
that's
damn
someone's
sure.
Nose
Coke is
into
a
someone's
very
ass.
Expensive drug. It's very, very expensive. It's a very high class drug. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how his beverage company is going with Lance Bass.
He was kicked off of it. He was kicked out of it.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, during all the controversy, Lance Bass kicked him out.
I mean, that's really, then you've really failed. If you've been kicked out of an already failing beverage.
Kicked out of a Lance Bass project, you're seriously lacking, sir.
Yeah, but he has something on his IG. He has some link to something that he does. He has some I think a fitness thing he's working on now, which, is great because he started doing that about 8 years ago with his fitness app. So, you know, it's good to see he's finally working on it again.
Yeah, and, you know, it's really bad to be so happy when someone you know, kick someone when they're down. You know what I mean? That's just not, yeah, that's not a good look. And I don't care. I never claimed to be a good person. I don't need you to think I'm a good person. I was just happy as fuck. I really was. I was like, bye, loser. Yeah.
And it happened on my birthday. It was great. I mean, like, and by the way, thank you everyone for their birthday messages and everything. It was so lovely, but nothing could compare to the joy that came from Jax being fired on my birthday. That was really so special. And I'm also really looking forward to his transformation into one of those celebrities like James Woods type that's like, you can't say anything anymore. Everyone gets offended. You can't say anything anymore. Meanwhile, he's the one who blocks everyone and censors everyone. He even put up something. Someone in our group posted a thing he put up that was like, it was like a meme. It was like a teacher walked into a classroom and wrote the times table for 9 and said 1 times 9 = 7, then 2 times 9 = 18, and 3 times 9 = 27, and 36, went down the whole thing. And then the kids started snickering in class, and the teacher said, you're snickering because I put 1 times 9 = 7, right? Well, that's a lesson, which is that you ignored all the things I did right. You only focus on what I did wrong. That's your lesson. I'm like, listen, Jax, first of all, you got a whole bunch of those times tables wrong, okay? You didn't just get 1 times 9 wrong. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times 9 wrong. And when a teacher does that, you get fired. Second of all, even if you did just get one thing wrong, the lesson should be not that, like, woe is me because you only focus on the bad things. The lesson should be don't fuck up because people are going to judge you on it. So get your shit together.
Also, your lesson should be shorter memes because that meme was really long. Like, it was literally painful to get through it.
Yeah, it really was.
I'd just like to congratulate all the other, like, really horrible people in Los Angeles who now have a chance at Vanderpump Rules because, you know, horrible douchebags are a dime a dozen, and I can't wait to see who's picked.
Yeah, Charlie from Vanderpump Rules, she posted something like, at least I'm gainfully employed or something. Cause, yeah, you know, she said,
who am I? It's something like, who am I? Someone who's employed.
Yeah, and then Zach, the Brittany is gay, who has the wig. He's like, who are you? Or something like that on there.
Yeah, he's like, who are you? Who? Oh, shut up. Shut up, Zach. Have fun hanging on, hanger, okay?
Yeah, seriously.
Stupid Zach.
You know, over the summer, when the BLM protests were happening in LA, I was watching the local news, and he got right in front of the local news cameras and was like, he was making statements and everything. It's like, of course, Zach is going to be the one to try to, like, make this BLM movement about himself.
In LA.
In LA.
He's like, there's a protest. I'll be right there. Yeah. So, anyhoozle, here we are with the Real Housewives of Potomac, where all of our horrible people are still gainfully employed. Thank God.
Good. Thank God. Thank God. That was a great way to start the show. Wow, I'm fired up.
You are? I feel good. I feel like I need a cigarette. Yeah. Okay, so here we are. So everybody's getting ready for this big holiday party. Well, I guess first everybody's decorating kind of for Christmas.
Giselle's tree trimming at home, and it's her first Christmas in the new house, and Dad's coming. Do you all feel like you're in the holiday spirit? No.
So then Eddie and Wendy go on date night, take some shots. And then we're at Abigail, a main strip mall event space in wherever this location is. Potomac.
It's the hottest club that can be found next to a sharper image.
You can have wonderful cocktails or get your phone fixed at the Radio Shack.
You can drop by for some orange chicken at Panda Express and then mosey on over to Abigail.
Pizza!
So Robin is touring this event space, and there's a guy named Matthew who is he has like a very tight ponytail and a turtleneck and a blazer. He's hilarious and doing nothing but just being hilarious. Like, It felt like he was torn between whether he wanted to look like Christian Slater or Adam Levine and then wound up with this look instead.
Yeah. And he does this thing that I really love where he's just bragging about the lights. He's like, guys, we've got lights in here, okay? We can make it look like holidays. We can make it look like dancing. We can make it look like it's snowing. I mean, lights, guys. Lights.
We're very fortunate that the good people at Payless Shoes left them here when we took over the space.
So then the producer is asking Giselle if Juan's going to propose that night. And she's like, I don't know why. I have to call Juan. Nah. And so she calls Juan and she's like, how are you feeling? How are you feeling? Juan, are you ready to do this? And they lose the connection.
Yeah.
Which is nice fitting, metaphor. You know, it's kind of, yeah, it is. It's kind of fitting. It's a metaphor for the whole relationship.
Yeah. So then we see a big fancy car pull up and Monique gets out and she rings on a doorbell in definitely a much poorer person's house. I just love it. She's basically at her therapist's house / office. And I just love that she just shows up at this fancy ass house, fancy ass car. And it's Esther, her therapist. And I think one thing that I've started to do, Ronnie, I don't know about you, but I've started to subtly compare therapist office decor on all these reality shows.
Oh, my God. Esther was a mess. I did, too. I was looking at her. I was like, Esther, you need to work on your cords. Just cords everywhere. There's cords coming out cords. From under the shelves. There's cords coming from the ceiling. It's like the walls are bleeding cords, Esther. I know you like your electronics, but you are a therapist, and I don't trust you right now because of your cords.
I, you know, she had a lot of cords, but I liked her little tables, though. I thought there was something cozy about her space that I enjoyed.
Well, I mean, you know what we would call that space? Lived in. Okay? It looks very lived in because there's cords everywhere. Other than that, yeah, very cute space. Well done. But cords. And today, actually, it's funny that you brought that up because I wasn't even going to say anything, which is a lie because my first note is too many cords. But I came into my office and did all my cords. I got little Velcro strips and I stripped all the cords.
I love Velcro strips.
And I put everything together and then I moved the computer back towards the wall and then all the cords popped out again. So, you know what? I'm a hypocrite.
You know what? I'm not doing my cords just yet because I decided to splurge and I bought an uplift desk, which is a standing desk, because I need to take care of some of this chub because I'm not really willing to do the real work. So as long as I'm sitting here, I might try to do some episodes while I'm standing. We'll see how that goes. But also, I figure I could get a better angle when we do a video stuff too. To be honest,
what kind of luxury is making somebody stand? You know, only in fucking 2020 is someone making a luxury purchase to stand up instead of sit down. Okay, luxury is sitting down. If I stood up, I wouldn't be helping my chub. I'd be hurting my knees.
Well, you know what? I have to say I was also a little won over because the desk has a little hook that I can put my headphones on and it has a cup holder. So I was like, a desk with a cup holder for my coffee? I think I have to get it.
So you've got like the Barca lounger of desks.
Kind of.
You've got the Sheena
really
Barca lounger of desks.
But listen how shady Uplift is, okay?
They're called Uplift, first of all.
Yeah, I should have known. Like, it's that fake enthusiasm. So it's like the Britney of desks. It's like, hey, come on in. Now you can stand here. We have standing room only, but you're going to really like it. It's really comfortable. But
she refuses to admit that somebody just used her desk.
You want grommet? I can give you a grommet. So I ordered it on Black Friday or Cyber Monday to get a good deal on it. And I was like, cool, this is amazing. I can't believe I'm getting this. And then 2 days later, they email me to say, hey, by the way, we're back ordered and this isn't going to ship until mid-February. I was like, you assholes. You knew it was back ordered. How could you not, like, how do you not present that? It was so shady. So I want everyone to know that if you want to get an Uplift desk, they're back ordered.
You tell them, Ben.
Oh, I said, you're going to jail.
You're going to jail. You touched my Uplift. Okay, so Monique is at her therapist, Dr. Cord's house. And everybody, by the way, goes to the therapist in this episode.
I know. I have comments about the next decor also.
Yeah, there's a lot of therapy in this episode. So she goes to the therapist, and we know that this is just for the cameras because she tells us, I've really been looking forward to this, which nobody ever says before they go to therapy. Like, I've never heard that. So the therapist is like, we've kind of been exploring how you feel. Hold on, let me plug in this water fountain behind you.
Yeah, so Monique's talking about how her appetite's been inconsistent and the lawsuits have turned her life upside down. And
you hit somebody. You hit somebody, stupid.
And so she says she feels very written off, and it feels very hurtful because no one wants to be isolated. So Esther's like, all right, Esther, this is the moment you trained for many years for. You're a therapist. Do your thing. Reach into that tissue box and offer that tissue. Yes, nailed it, Esther.
She's like, you know what you need? Walls down, okay? I don't know if you've noticed, but also plugged in. Is the television where I watch The Bachelor, and every problem is that your walls are up. Put your walls down, lady. Put them down.
Walls are up. Walls are up. Okay, you know what? The walls are up. So, you know, Monique's just saying she's in a circle of women, and she feels like she's always trying to have to prove to them who she is, and it's like she always feels like she's in defense mode. It's like, Monique, the reason why you probably feel like you have to prove to them who you are is because you always are like, she's always like sort of like, fake, right? Like there's something always like a little off with what Monique with when she talks about. She's always talking about the houses that she has. I mean, admittedly they all do this, but she really kind of does it a lot. And then she chilled out the season when she was pregnant, but it seems like pretty clear why she has to keep proving to them who she is, because she always seems like she's always trying to like sell her oils or whatever with them, you know?
Well, I mean, look, if I was a therapist on Housewives, I would just say, you're a real housewife. Of course you're fucked up. Just don't hit people. Yeah. Okay, that'll be $500. Now leave.
Here's a tissue.
Here's an electric tissue that's been charging and something that's been plugged in.
But we do get some like understanding of maybe why she acts the way I was just describing, because she said that, like, you know, growing up she came from a white area, and so no one wanted to play with her because she was black, and then she transferred to a black school. And she spoke so properly that they called her and her sister white girls. So she felt like she never quite fit in, which probably is why she does all these things to, like, you know, be like, I've got a house, I got this, I got that, because she's just, you know, yearning to fit in ultimately. And now I feel bad for her. And now I feel sad.
Yeah. And she's like, well, you know what? Maybe you should write a letter to Candace. And, you know, tweets don't count.
Yeah.
Don't tweet. Don't have your cousin tweet at her, okay?
Yeah.
And so then the producer asks her, so now that you've been to therapy, are you remorseful? And she takes a long pause, and she's like, I'm remorseful for my actions, but I'm not sorry for defending myself when I felt I needed to. Yeah, nice work, Esther. Nice work.
Good job. Good job. That was deeply felt. So now we have Ashley with baby Dane. It's time for his monthly photo shoot to prove how old he is. So he's got a cute little outfit. He's going to win over all the ladies now.
Now listen, I don't care what he looks like. I just want to make him look like me. So could you put some rouge or something on his nose so it looks like he's been drinking for 7 years straight? That would be great.
That would be great. And then Ashley's like basically zipping up baby Dean's little onesie, and Michael's like, hey, watches, you know what, down there, it's pretty big. It runs in the family, eh? I'm like, ew, please, please stop. No, I don't need to hear that from you about your baby.
Yeah, well, it's nice to see that Michael's not just disgusting to some people. He's disgusting to everybody, you know?
Yeah. So Ashley says that everything's been so much better between her and Michael since her family meeting last episode. We'll just have to take her word for it because, you know, it's only been an episode.
Yeah. And
if she says so, she says so, I guess.
Yeah, and he's like, listen, you look so good, little baby. We could go out together. And the baby's like, well, you know what we're going to need to do? Stop by an ATM. I need to make it rain, Daddy.
Daddy, I request a lap dance. Can we maybe go into the champagne room, if you know what I'm saying? But instead of champagne, I would prefer to have some breast milk.
You may call that strip club a titty bar. I call it the Great American Buffet. Please remove your tassels. I don't want to break another gum.
I'll tell you what's a lap dance. When I'm sitting in mommy's lap and she hits me on the back and I spit up a little bit. Now that's a lap dance.
So they lay him down on the blanket, and they have a little thing that says, 5 months.
I can't stand those. I'm sorry. I cannot. I know everyone does them. I know I'm in the minority. I know I'm shaming, like, 75% of our audience. It's me. It's not you guys. But, like, I don't need to see, like, if your baby is 5 months or 6 months. Like, I don't know. It drives me nuts.
And also, stop carving that shit into your door. okay? You know, they're like, look at you. You're 5 months. He's this high now. And then they carve it into the door frame. You know what? What if I want to rent that house later? And now I've got your damn baby's thing. If I was a parent, I would measure 3 feet up the door frame, and then I would carve a little line in it, and then right next to it, I would say, old enough to get a job, old. Okay?
Old enough to get a job, old.
That's how old you are. You're old enough to walk and complain. You're old enough to work, okay? Find an iPhone factory and get on it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I know people are just so happy they've got their baby. It comes from a place of deep love and joy, and I'm just not, I guess... There's just a part of me that's like, it's just, you know what? It's just like, it's always the same photo. It's always like, oh, you arranged 5 out of pebbles. Always, always.
Oh, well, I'm different because I, you know, love babies and stuff.
That's true. If it was a cat, I'd be like, oh my God, how wonderful. That cat's 5 months old.
Yeah, I'm like, look at you. You have a baby in a bar. Like Sweet Home Alabama. Okay, yeah. So Ashley, they take pictures. And Ashley's like, well, I told you about that wig shift party. And he's like, wig shifting? It was a shifting wig party. Is she shifting her wigs? Oh, I don't get it. Is anyone laughing out there yet? My nose is purple at this point, by the way. My nose is purple.
I actually have bubbles coming out of my face like a cartoon from Disney. So
he does. What's wrong with him? He looks like he's got leprosy on his face.
He looks like Mars. You know, like he just has like red.
It's Elon like, Musk is going to land on him.
He needs to be terraformed. So they're talking about Candace getting upset about Monique being invited to the wig shift party. And Michael's like, well, Candace gets to be a victim for another day. That's good for her. He touched me. He touched me. He's going to jail. He touched me.
I'm suing you, baby. That's right. You're going to jail, baby.
Anyway, as I was saying, Candace gets to be another victim for a day.
Not wrong. You know, but he's still Michael.
But not wrong. But yeah. Still Michael, yes.
But still Michael. And Ashley's like, well, I think Michael might just still be upset that Candace tried to rake him over the coals last night. Cue the clips. Yeah. Michael made a comment about wanting to suck a sausage.
Yeah. So, people like that all the time. They never try to know. Oh, they're talking about Candace. Michael's talking about Candace.
Yeah, he's like, Chris, you know, and Chris, and Chris, that husband, you know, whatever his name is. There's people like that. They don't want to get to know other people. Unlike Chris Samuels, who's always wanting to know what the smaller people are up to in our smaller little villages. He'll come in and ask who stole his golden goose and how do we feel about this little beanstalk climber who took it. You know, that sort of thing.
And I bring him all the breads and the eggs and the bottle of milk. And in return, he protects me from all the bad people.
And now she's like, speaking of wine, Juan is planning to propose. Get out of here. It's not possible. Someone's pulling your leg. That man will not do that.
It's just something I know. I've said too much already about something I don't know. Oh, I think I'm drunk.
Yeah, what do you think? What do you know? Oh, I can't say anything. I will not say it. I will simply insinuate that he's fucking a lot of people on national television and then call him my best friend.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to zip my lips shut and then swallow the key. But maybe I might pretend that key is something else because, you know, when we talk about one, I've said too much. I've said too much.
What an asshole. Oh, my God. Okay, so then a close-up on a poinsettia leaf. Love the artistic Christmas expression. Mm. And we're at Nails and Wax with Candace and her mom, Dorothy.
That sort of sounds like what their cop show would be called. Nails and Wax. I'm Detective Nails, and I'm Officer Wax.
That's like a show on Acorn. Do you ever watch that British channel?
I've heard of Acorn, but you're the first one who's ever said it's like a show on Acorn. I don't know if anyone who's watched Acorn, but I'm into it. I like Acorns.
Well, it's British shows.
About squash.
And it's hilarious because all the detective... I watch all the detective shows, you know, and they've all got something like that. It's like, it's a detective, but she's in the roaring 20s. Yeah, she's a like flipper. Vera. Yeah, or there's a detective, but there's two detectives, but they like gardening. Xena the Warrior Princess has a detective thing, and her theme is she loves to bake bread.
I love that. Well, that's the thing is that that's what like a lot of mystery novels are like, right? They're always like some twist on on, like, it's not just always detectives. It's usually some person who's like, I work in a one-hour photo booth, you know,
and solve
in 1985.
Crimes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like that. It's these two. But Nails and Wax, they're solving crimes, but getting waxed. So they go in, and they're just getting along great now. They're talking about how Candace is looking for a house for her new children that she's going to have. And the mom is being so nice. You know, she keeps her purse on the floor. So
that's great. That's so nice of her to do that. And so nice of her to pretend to tolerate her daughter for this scene. That was a nice button. So they're talking about Candace has been in such a huge funk ever since the wig party. And she thinks she made a huge mistake by looking up to Karen as her mother figure. And then we see a flashback of Candace at her own anniversary party saying, like, of course I have to give a shout out to, like, the two most important women in my life, my mother and, of course, Karen Huger. Which is like, I think it's hilarious that that she did that, and then she expected anything other than this outcome to happen.
yeah, that's not nice when you're like, my mother is abusive. You're just like my mother.
Yeah, that's true too.
The mother's like, I can't wait till you have a baby, Candace. I can move in with you, help you. She's like, you are not moving into my house, mother. You're just paying this time.
Well, whatever you want me to be, I'll come over and kidnap your kids.
Like, listen, when Dorothy says that she's going to kidnap your kids, don't take that as a joke.
Yeah, she literally will. Okay, so then we go over to Karen. Ray, 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 Ray. Oh, hello, Ray. Hello, Ray. She's packing because she's going to go to HSN.
I'm going to be on TV. I love when people say that when they're already, like, on TV, as they say it. I'm going to be on TV. Television. So she's going to sell her La Dame fragrance. And my man has recognized me as a partner in this marriage now. Hoo-ah.
And then we get a clip of her going, Ray, I just want you to say thank you for soldiering up. Thank you for soldiering up. Oh, Ray, everything's sold, Ray. Raymond.
Well, I was very disappointed with my wig shift party. I didn't like the girls and their behavior. I mean, I would never ambush Candace. What I would do is surprise her with someone she wasn't expecting to see, but totally different thing.
And then we see the texts, because she's got all this proof of a timeline, right? It's like the JFK assassination. She's like, here's the timeline, Ray. One little piggy went to market, and that was you, you dirty boy. And then I texted with Monique. So basically, these texts show her... Well, the texts are hilarious. Did you press pause to read the text?
I actually didn't. It didn't even occur to me, but I should have.
Just how they say. Because she's like, well, listen, I understand 4:30 only gives us about 30 minutes, but we're good TV together. And the important thing is your support. We're such good TV together.
We're good TV together.
Yeah. And, well, maybe it's Monique who said that. And the other one says, yeah, well, I spoke with them, and they said that they will be sure to hold anyone if necessary. I'm not playing around, so I guess that's Karen. No, that's Monique then. Okay. Guys, I'm confusing myself and you. Okay, so Karen was the one who said the first one. Then Monique says, no problem, I spoke with them, and they said they'll be sure to hold anyone if necessary. Mm-hmm. And then Karen says, appreciate it. Hope you can come at 4, because then I have to get ready for the party. And so these are her proof. And then we see another text later where she's texting Candace, and Candace is saying, what time did you want me there again? And she says, 6:30.
Yeah. And I bent over backwards to make sure that they were not there at the same time. I texted 4 to 1 and 6:30 to the other. I bent over backwards. It was so difficult.
I have been a stellar backbending friend to Candace. So she's modeling her jacket for Ray, and Ray's like, looks good. Are we going to take a bath? Or oh, Ray.
Ray. So 2 days later, then Karen's on HSN, and she says the things that we all want to hear when we think about Karen and her fragrance.
I actually squirt here, and I squirt there, and I put on a honey on a date, I put it behind the heel. I squirt here, there, and everywhere, squirt, squirt.
Some days, date days, I put it behind the kneecap. I've been there. 29 years. You might want to follow that tip.
Do you smell that fragrance? What does it smell like to you? Are you about to say, corn that's sold all around the world? Yes!
Man, Karen really is kinky. I've never had a man try to fuck my knee bend. But you go, girl.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So now, therapist office number two, Robin and Juan walk in. And because it's Robin and Juan, it's a much more drab office. There was like some strange fleur-de-lis art. It was like multiple fleur-de-lis arranged in one giant diamond, and they were all on their side. Did you notice that?
I didn't. I noticed the blinds.
Yeah, that was like, too.
yeah. Like the just very basic Lowe's blinds. I was sad for this therapist because I liked Erica.
I liked her too. I felt bad. So it was Juan and Robin in therapy. So I guess I don't know if you heard the story about how they met, because I hadn't heard it before, except every single season. Well, Juan's parents died, and then he moved in, and then my parents said that he was like family, and then we got married, and then divorced, and, you know, he'll admit that he wasn't very present when I was pregnant.
And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, with the second one? And she's like, well, let's just say you weren't very hands-on ever when they were infants. And he's like, you know what? I wish you would stop doing this. Just keep it real, okay? Don't act like our marriage was awesome, because it wasn't awesome. She's like, oh, yeah. I didn't say that, Juan.
Yeah. And so the therapist is like, whoa. And so he's like, well, you know, she could have been a better wife. And Robin's like, well, I was at a point where I didn't even want to fight for my marriage. I mean, divorce just came easy. So, you know, I filed for divorce. And then Juan says how it was like very lonely for him out on the road, and he wasn't in a good place. And he says, like, this is why our marriage, he's like, it wasn't there because I didn't do my part, and he has a wall up.
But you know why he didn't do his part? Because Robin had a wall up, guys. It's all because of Robin's walls. It's all because of Robin's walls.
Too many walls have come in between us.
And so she's like, well, what were you getting when you were cheating? Was it just about sex? And he's like, what every woman wants to hear. No, it wasn't just sex. It was romance and love. I'm like, perfection. Wine. Walk it back, wine.
Weekly presents. Breakfast. A joke here or there.
He's like, no, it was a deep, deep love. Okay, are we done here?
Then he goes, but Robin's always been there. Like, just making her sound like the doormat. That's like, you know, you go out on life's adventures and you see the world. You see the Eiffel Tower. You go to Rome, you go to Cape Town, you visit Saudi Arabia, and then you come back and there's your reliable doormat just waiting for you.
There's that old tree in the backyard, just always there to give you comfort and shade in equal amounts. So she says that she's proud of him, and the therapist's like, well, can you tell him? Please, just tell him to his face. And she's like, oh! And then they cry and stuff.
Yeah, it was nice. So then,
it was nice.
It was nice.
Yeah, look, you know, look, everyone makes mistakes. You two crazy kids are going to go at it again. Good for you.
Good for you. So now we have Cal calling Giselle, and he's like, what are you up to? And she's like, oh, I'm just getting ready for the party. And he goes, what party? She goes, Cal, don't play with me. You know you're my date to the party. And then afterwards, we hop on a plane to get free refills in Arizona.
Now listen, if you want those free refills, I'm going to need you to dress like it's St. Patrick's Day.
I'll call up my friend Shannon Bedore, and you can wear her jacket to this event.
That was Shannon Bedore's Ireland jacket that he wore. Yeah. So funny. Okay, so then Juan and Robin are getting ready, and Robin's like, how do I look, son? And he's like, why are your boobs out? She's like, what?
She's like wearing Mylar. So now we're in a limo, and Candace is with, or a car, whatever, and she's with Chris, the driver to this event, and she tells the driver, I'm just going to warm up my voice once, so don't be alarmed. I'm like, please stop sounding like Jurassic Park, then he won't be alarmed.
So is she excited for tonight? She's like, I cannot believe Robin would even ask me to sing. I mean, it's so much added pressure. You know what? I don't need to be talking. I do not need to be talking. Oh, and speaking of talking and yelling, I'm not yelling tonight. He's like, well, why would you yell? And she's like, I'm thinking about the Karen shit. I'm thinking about Karen.
We should have her sing like every night so that way she minimizes how much she talks.
Yeah, it didn't work.
So, yeah, it didn't really work yet. Yeah, you're right. Well, that's because she did her singing earlier in the evening.
Oh, okay.
So, I think that's my theory. So, yeah, so Candace is still in the process of turning this stupid wig shift thing into like a full betrayal of her, which is so Candace. And she's like, you know, the text says 6:30, but Karen called me and told me to come between 5:15 and 5:30. Like, well, yeah, I mean, I just feel like, why are you surprised that Karen is so shady? Like everyone knows and everyone sees that Karen is shady. So where's the shock here?
No, I don't think that her story stands up at all. I mean, I think Karen is shady and she does lie all the time, but Karen told Monique 4:30 and she told you 5:00. And she told Monique she couldn't spend much time because she had to get ready. So
that's true, too.
What's the big deal? You're still not proving any kind of case, Candace. Of course. As usual.
It's an ongoing theme with the legal system.
Yeah, and she's I need a face-to-face. I feel played. And then we go to Abigail. Back to Abigail.
The lights.
Look at those lights. Is it snowing? Oh, my God. Those lights are amazing. Lights. I thought it was snowing out here.
Oh, it's so pretty in here.
So Cal arrives in his Shannon Bedore jacket. And yeah. Then everyone starts arriving, basically. And Giselle's like, Juan better ask tonight. He better be engaged by the morning.
And Jamal, by the way, isn't there. The reason why she brought Cal is because Jamal has, he is, it's Saturday night, and he has to be in the pulpit tomorrow morning. So, I mean, apparently he's not very good at catching flights on time, you know. Also, he's probably boning someone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And Giselle, who is still totally not jealous of Monique at all, wears Monique's fish tank tubing around her neck to the party. Oh. I'm like, could you be a little less obvious, Giselle?
Her fish tank tubing. Took me a moment. I was like, wait, was that a look? I was like, oh, yes. Yeah, she fully, like, there are some dead fish in Monique's house right now, and she has no idea why.
They couldn't get their oxygen.
So Ashley and Michael show up, and Ashley is all suspicious about Jamal not being there, etc. And Michael's talking about, I guess, he's talking about Dean, and he's talking about how he just wants to enjoy every single moment with him, which is why he'll be bringing Dean to the next strip club. Not a second lost. Not a second lost. Memories forever.
And then Michael starts giving Giselle shit about her guy not being there. And he's like, well, listen, if he's in Atlanta, that's not where you are. You are here. He is in Atlanta. If he was here, he could... You touched me, Jamal, who's not here. I could have said that to him possibly at some point tonight.
Michael's actually not necessarily wrong, I have to say, oddly enough. I kind of do feel like... I mean, yeah, he just got this big job down in Atlanta. I just feel like Jamal has done so many wrong things that, yes, you could take the argument like, look, he just got this big job. If they want to get together, you know, they da da da. But Giselle is, like, her job pertains to her location and her daughters are there. I think it's up to Jamal to come to Potomac.
Yeah, Jesus is everywhere. Like, there's plenty of Jesus, okay? You can plenty find of Jesus somewhere. Mm-hmm. So she's like, well, I'm not bringing Jamal around him ever. And so Ashley's like, is Karen coming? Did you see her text? Oh, text. Dear Siri, my flight from HSN in Florida was delayed due to mechanical problems. I've been at the airport all day. I've just landed in D.C., flew to Hawaii, back to D.C., around the bend, and I don't know if I'll make it to the party. Do not forget behind the D's. I've been at this 29 years. Mm-hmm.
Well, unfortunately, we got a little sidetracked to Morocco, where we have to smuggle some people out of the country before the Nazis come. It's like, Karen, you're now talking Casablanca.
Well, I've been nannying six or seven children, who are entering a singing competition. So.
Well, unfortunately, there's a little bit of a revolution going on. You see, there was once this prostitute, and then she had a daughter, and then there's this police officer chasing this other gentleman, and we just have to be there to make sure Jean Valjean is saved. I don't know what else to say.
Arrested for stealing bread. Can you imagine?
I can't imagine. If someone stole my bread, I'd be killed by the big bad giant.
Okay, so then we see a clip of when Robin was going, yeah, oh, because I was fast-forwarding. Okay, this is what happened. I was fast-forwarding, and I just pressed play, and you just hear, he said, yeah, I would suck his dick. I love this show. I love that you could just fast-forward and press play at any moment and be in love with the show.
Yeah, it's true. So now Michael's over at the bar, and he tells us that he doesn't do liquor anymore ever since his great crazy night at the MGM casino, because that's how we got into trouble last time. So no liquor whatsoever.
Cut to, he said I would suck his dick. Man, look, I just want to say, Robin, I'm not causing any trouble tonight. This is your night. And yes, Candace, to sing for you. That was nice of you.
She's like, oh, I think what was nice of me was inviting you here. Yeah. So Candace enters, and Michael looks uncomfortable. They keep showing footage of him like looking around all uncomfortable and upset, you know? And so the women start talking about Karen, how she's trying to avoid them with all her like quote unquote engine troubles that she's having, getting back up to Potomac, etc.
Yeah, and Candace is like, she doesn't want to be here because everybody in this group is gonna hold her to the fire. And then Wendy comes and she's in a Chanel fur beret thing.
Yeah, it's not, just because it says Chanel on it does not mean that it's amazing. So Michael meets Eddie for the first time, and then they're like, I think he's with Juan and Eddie, or someone is like, oh, you've never met Eddie before? Like, oh, you weren't at that Chris and Candace's anniversary party. And he's like, why would I go to that? If I wanted to deal with some assholes, I would have come down here with you two, huh? Huh? That's right. Get it?
If I wanted to deal with assholes, I'd be back at the strip club. Right.
Know what I'm saying.
So Chris comes over and says hello and blah, blah, blah. Okay, so then Candace is like, so this is your party and your event, Robin. So how do you feel about Karen not coming? And she's like, well, I feel fine because she tried to throw Juan under the bus the other day. And Wendy's like, yeah, at that moment, I felt like Juan's wife. Like, I wanted to jump over the table. And Robin's like, it was a deflection. That's all it was, a deflection.
Yeah, Wendy basically is like, it's just, this is what Karen does, and she's not your friend, and she's fake as hell, you know? And then we cut to Michael just at the bar saying, excuse me, may I have another Corona? No, it's not liquor, it's beer. Nothing could go wrong. Nothing could possibly go wrong tonight. I'm drinking beer.
So then Ashley is over in a corner talking to Giselle, and of course it's Ashley. So the first thing she does is like,
Michael and I had a discussion about Robin and Juan getting engaged, and he said something, but I don't know really what he was saying, but more so, he was surprised.
And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. This isn't straight up shit talking just because you said more so.
Yeah. And Giselle's like, does Michael know something that I don't know? Michael needs to spill the beans, or Michael needs to stop.
So she goes up to Michael and pulls him over. And Ashley's like, well, we were just recapping the importance
before, of tonight. Before he gets pulled over, they cut to Michael once again doing his crazy, like, he just walks up to some guy named James. He's like, hey, nice to meet you. Looking good. I like your suit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Always doing his like pseudo flirting with the other guys.
Yeah, he does a lot of that at this party.
Yeah.
So they bring Giselle over, and Giselle's like, well, Ashley was saying that you feel they're never going to get married. And he's like, well, I love this guy. And by the way, Giselle, we have a very special relationship. All right, Giselle, we have a very special relationship. She's like, well, I want to know about that. Tell me about the specialness.
Well, I just asked Juan, is this his big night? And he said, it's just a normal night. Gosh, Michael, you look really handsome tonight. And I said, Juan, stop it. Stop it. You're making me blush. He says, I can't help it, Michael. Sometimes the sun, the moonlight hits your eyes and I can't help but stare into them. And I said, Juan, stop. Stop. Let's not let this special bond take over our lives, Juan.
And it ended with Juan saying, I love you. And I said, I'm not gay. How do you say that? Never say that again. So he's like, well, you know, he's been reluctant to previously commit, as we know. And Giselle's like, well, I'm going to check on him. Are the fish breathing? They are not. But I'm getting plenty of oxygen around my neck. So she goes off to find whoever to see that Juan's officially going to do this or not. And Ashley's like, come on, Michael, I'm sorry, but I had to clear the air. It would have weighed on me.
He goes, well, why would I tell her what I know? She goes, well, she's like, are you going to tell me? Do I have to grow a dick and then you'll tell me? Actually, yes, that would be lovely. Thank you.
Listen, I wish you would grow a dick so I could grab your butt and then say, I'm not gay, bro. Not gay at all.
That way I could grab your butt and say, why can't people take a joke? It's just a funny thing. One man touching another man's buttock, okay? Hey, you touched me. Going to jail.
Going to jail. So, let's see. So, Charisse arrives.
Sasa.
Sasa. Sasa on a hoverboard.
It's beginning to look a lot like Sasa.
Is it snowing in here?
Is that a snow? Is that a snow?
It's just a light, Charisse. Oh, is that a snow? No, that's a light, too. Is that a snow?
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the Sasa.
So Robin gets up to give a speech. No, not a speech. To introduce Candace for her go-go remix of I See You. And
a song Juan dedicated to all the intensive care wards across the nation.
And Juan just is sweating it. You know, he looks so nervous because his big moment's coming up. His big moment in the sun. So Candace gets up to sing and the music is really low. And it's like, turn it up a little louder, please. Turn it up a little louder.
I see you. I see you. I see you and I love you.
So the music finally comes up and she finishes. Thank God. Everyone cheers, mostly because, you know, it's done. And then Robin is like, all right, everybody. I don't know if I've said this yet, but it's an open bar. Enjoy. Because we haven't pointed out that every chance she gets, Robin goes, oh, this is an open bar. Hey, guys, you want a drink? It's an open bar. Hey, guys, it's an open bar. Just shading the shit out of Candace the whole time.
That's true. That's true. So, so then Juan's like, I want to say something. Robin's been my rock and my mountain for so many years, and she's just so, like, I don't know if you heard the story, but like, I moved in with her in 1906, and then we got together, and the first one wasn't so good, but well, I want to propose. So he gets down on a knee, and everyone's like,
and Wendy goes extra crazy and won't stop screaming and then goes up to them and just starts like touching them.
Yeah, I know. Giselle has to actually like clear her away. She's like, give them room. Give them room. We need to have wide shots. So he's like, Robin, I tried this once before. It didn't work out. I was young and dumb and I appreciate you so much. And like every doormat in my life, you're very welcome to me. So and I want to try this.
Oh my God! Open bar! It's an open bar.
Did she say yes? Did she say yes? Did we get confirmation on? Did she say yes?
And Giselle's like, oh, thank you, Lord. Ah, what you gonna say now, Crocodile Dundee? Ah, did you just hate it because you wanted one to yourself? I think you did. Ah.
Yeah. So Juan looks like he's about to cry. He goes up to, I'm sorry, Michael. Michael goes up to Juan, and he's like, now Michael is, by the way, drunk, very drunk at this point. He looks like he's about to cry, and he's like, you know, all the shit that happens, I've stayed true to you. I have been like a perfectly round hand supporting your buttock. I have been there for you.
This whole time. And Juan's like, you don't have to tell me that, Michael. I know. He's like, all right, let's do a shot for the newly betrothed that I just tried to fuck over on national television.
That's right. I said no liquor, but what could go wrong with one shot for the newly betrothed? And Mashy's like, are you going to be okay? He's like, listen, it's all right. Juan, you're an engaged man. You're an engaged, handsome man. All of you.
And Juan's like, well, I've done this before. And he's like, well, you know how to do it. Here's to a great family, friends, and a bachelor party in Vegas.
He like lets out this like crazy like goblin laugh. He's like, he like curls his shoulders over like Gollum, and he's like, to a bachelor party in Vegas.
No cameras this time. So then the girls are cheersing, and Giselle's like, to 20, what a year it's going to be.
Yeah, what a year. And then they pour out some shots for Karen because she can't be there. But guess what? Here comes Karen, and she's with Detective Ray, the detective who's
whose assistant has soldiered on for him. He is here to solve all the crimes. In his fedora.
Four piggies went to market.
You're getting there, Ray. You're getting there, Solva.
So Giselle and Charisse are talking, and Giselle's like, well, she said she was delayed. Plane issues. She's been trying to ambush Candace with Monica, and it's like, you're doing dirty shit, and she just can't handle the pressure. And Charisse is like, of course not. She's batshit crazy. Of course not.
Of course not. Okay. Is that mythical, though? So,
Ray walks into the party with Karen, and he goes, it's the party, baby. I'm like, yes, Ray. Did you forget Detective where we were going, Ray?
Detective Ray on top of it. He's like, I thought we were going to see Abigail. So Karen tells us that she really wanted to, even though she missed the proposal, she really wanted to come because this is a moment for Robin. Robin doesn't get a lot of moments. She doesn't get a lot. Doesn't get a lot of moments. No, sorry.
I was cracking up at that.
Yeah.
Robin don't get a lot of moments.
And now Michael has his shirt coming out, because we all know that when someone's getting sloppy, the first thing that happens is that their shirt gets untucked.
Yeah, I don't know Michael what it is. Does. Michael yeah. does every single time. It's so funny. So Karen goes over to congratulate Robin, and Giselle's watching with Charisse, and she's like, she is the worst star. The worst star.
Yeah.
So the ladies all sit down, and Karen comes over, and she's like, oh, I wouldn't miss this tonight. And Ashley's like, so you're playing, right? She's like, oh, mechanical problems. It was 8 a.m, and I did this one thing, then bent of the knee, had to get that ready, and then got back on the plane, didn't come back to the plane, went to Honolulu, nannied some kids. They were going to win the competition, but we had run from some Nazis, and here I am. I rerouted the plane for you. It's what friends do. Am I right? That's what friends do, Robin.
That's what friends do. When Amelia Earhart says hello, we saw her in the air. We waved high from plane to plane.
And so Robin's like, well, to be honest, I thought that you don't want to be here because of what happened last week.
Well, I have to set this example because you guys are already forgiven. When he's like, we're forgiven? And Ashley's like, well, why did you leave so abruptly from your party? She goes, well, I had a dinner date. And by the way, you guys owe me a dinner date because I went to Kentucky Fried Chicken instead of the date. Y'all had me eating 4 Kentucky Fried Thighs and a biscuit. So there. Ha, 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 ha.
What did that even mean? What did that whole thing mean?
Literally, I think she was trying to be like funny and chill about it, but it's like, it made no sense. Robin's like, so you decided to schedule a dinner date for when you were going to see us? Yes, why not? And Wendy's like, yeah. But you didn't know you were going to leave early from your event, so why would you schedule a dinner date at that same time?
It's like, because I want to date my husband, Wendy. Is that all right?
And Giselle's like, well, it seems like you knew that everyone had connected the dots that I set up and actually connected for them and realized that you invited Monique and Candace early at the same time and you decided not to deal with it.
Yeah, and Candace is like, remember you called me? Remember you called me? And Karen's like, yes, I said I wanted you there early. And then I moved you back because I had Monique come early. And she's like, but what if I came at 5? What if I came at 5?
And she's like, well, you wouldn't do that. And she's like, why not? Why wouldn't I come at 5? And Giselle's like, you set them up, Karen. You set them up, Karen. And she's like, I told you guys. So we're both invited, which is a lie. And
Wendy's like, in Portugal, you didn't.
Yeah, she's like, you did not say that. She's like, listen, I don't have to say everything to you. You guys are just coming at me now.
Yeah. Bottom line, you guys did not meet at my party, and that is because of me, because I took the effort to make sure you did not overlap, even though I tried to make you overlap, and then I said, no, you shan't overlap.
Yeah, she did. She did make sure that they didn't overlap. I mean, you guys can say whatever you want. The texts are there, okay?
The point is they didn't overlap, and it's fine, right? And so Candace goes, it's because I was late. And she goes, well, I would have made adjustments, just like it is a wig shift party, after all. We make adjustments and shifts.
And Candace is like, she's either lying or delusional, and neither of those work for me. So then Michael is with the guys, and he's like, oh, look at this guy. He's the second best man to want. You're very good looking, by the way. And I am not gay. And the guy's like, hey, listen, I'm not assuming anything. He goes, you better not fucking assume that, all right? Now that is my hand on your buttocks. But it is not a gay hand, so it does not count.
It is not a gay hand. I just wanted to compare. Sometimes I wonder, can a buttocks become more supple?
than wands, so I have to feel some other wands for just for comparison. It's more of an academic when it comes to these things.
So back with the girls, Karen's like, well, my hope is that we can just all come together and Monique can speak her truth, and whether that's an apology, whether it's wondering where the oxygen thing in her fish tank went, whatever it is, I hope that she speaks her truth.
And Candace is like, but what's her truth? What's her truth? That she's working to fix things in herself. And she goes, well, she can't be doing that when she's on social media at the same time lying and perpetuating bullshit and saying she's not remorseful. I'm like, okay, Candace, you are the social media monster out of all of them. So yeah. I know you're not saying that.
And now she's like, well, she did tell me she's sorry. And she's like, oh, well, the two of you are just, you know, drinking this bullshit-ass Kool-Aid. And you know better, Karen. You know better. And Karen's like, the truth will come out. What truth? You were there. You saw, Karen. You saw. And now Candace is screaming and yelling at a party.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's, well, the best part is that she's screaming and yelling while she's also saying, you saw a bitch get mad and attack me because she has no self-control. I'm like, ma'am, you are yelling at the party right now about self-control. So.
Yeah. God. So then
so
back
this
with
is
Mike.
What everything tips.
Yes. So then back with Michael and Chris. Mike's like, Chris is sitting at the bar, right, facing like the bartender, and Mike comes up behind him and he's like, you need to control your wife, man, or she's not good for us. And Chris goes, Michael, you need to get the fuck out of my face.
And Michael goes, shut the fuck up and listen to what I'm saying. And Chris is like, what? Because by the way, what Michael said is so
gross.
Rude.
Yeah.
It is so rude, and it's rude to say it to Chris. It's rude to say it about like about women, and it's just like rude and totally unmerited and obnoxious. And honestly, Chris had every right to be like, get the fuck out of my face. He had every right to say that, and I kind of loved that Chris immediately just like popped off on him, like, get the fuck out of my face.
Yeah.
And then Michael's like, shut the fuck up and listen to what I'm saying. And Chris is just like, what? And I thought this was Chris's finest moment, to be honest. Because he did not attack Michael. He just sort of like turned around and was like, oh, you're going to try this? And he had his sort of hand very gently on Michael's paunch. It was like a very gentle touch, which I appreciated. And then, of course, Michael has his hands up and he's like, you're touching me.
Well, Chris got up and like turned around and put his fist on Michael's stomach and started moving him back, right, through the bar. And Mike's like, oh, what are you touching me? You're touching me. Oh, you're touching me now, security. And then someone starts screaming for security. And then we go to commercial. And then we come back and he's still screaming, you just touched me. And then we get a replay of it.
You're touching me. Inappropriate toucher for the past 5 seasons. I think he was just like really excited to be able to accuse someone else of being a toucher because he's always the one who gets it. I think he was just like, oh, I finally get to do it.
Yes, because so they were all saying last year, you can't touch people and this or that, which also was different because that's like sexual harassment, Michael.
Right, but Michael, who in that reunion said, people just can't take a joke. You know, like in Australia, people get a joke, but here, you can't make a joke. So now he's being touched in a way that makes him uncomfortable.
Oh, God, this starts the whole Michael hypocrisy segment. It's so funny. So he's like, yeah. You can't touch me. You're going down, you fucking idiot. And he's so happy. Like, he's smiling really big.
Yeah, and his arms are up. And Wendy, by the way, Wendy stands up and she's like, get Eddie out of that shit. He's got on white. He can't be playing with these boys. She's like, I paid a lot of money for that blazer.
So Ashley and Candace both go to their bed, right? So Ashley's like, what happened? And he's like, thank God, hit me. Who hit you? He pushed me. Who? Chris, whatever his name is. Who? That guy who has an unsuccessful restaurant and no business. I was like, your restaurant closed. Like,
yeah,
what is going on
sorry.
With you?
Sorry, I tried to just book a table at Oz, and it said closed for 2 years. So then Ashley's like, then she goes after Candace. She goes, oh, you want to talk shit about Monique, though? So Monique has no self-control, but what do you have? You want to cry when your wife gets hands put on her, but acting like you're acting like a fool? Ah!
And Candace is like, hold on. And she starts waving her finger at Ashley. She's like, who do you think you're talking to? And then Michael is being held back, like my production, because he's terrifying.
But he's the sort of, terrifying. Michael's also the sort of person that if he knows he's being held back and he knows that there's like security there, then he'll be extra like, because he knows that he's safe, you know? So he'll act extra aggro as if he were going to fight. But if there's no one there to hold him back, he'd be running to the street.
Yeah. And Candace is like, you want to touch me, Michael? I motherfucking dare your ass. And he's like, oh, he's laughing. And he's like, I'm calling my lawyer right now. You're going to jail. You're going to jail, Hamburglar. And Candace is like, call him then. Just call him.
He's going to jail. You're going to jail, you bald-headed prick. I'm like, Michael, you're bald. You're bald, too. Doesn't work that way. It's like you. It's like if I said to Ronnie, like, oh, shut up, you stupid Bravo podcaster. It's like I am one, too.
So Ashley's like, calm down, please, calm the fuck down right now. And then Wendy's just screaming, enough. And then security comes up to pull Michael back. And
he goes, who are you? He's like, club security. By the way, also what's disgusting is the amount of entitlement on display by Michael. Like, it's actually hideous because, unfortunately, I get this weird feeling that what we see playing out here is like he doesn't get away with it in this episode. But unfortunately, I feel like I see him pulling these shenanigans in so many other parts of his life. And it's like bullshit because he is like, I'm calling my lawyer. You're going to jail. You're going to jail. Like, that is like just like the epitome of like obnoxious entitlement right there.
Fucking Michael. He's like, that man touched me, security person. Now that is not my hand on your ass. And I don't know why you're looking at me like that. So security goes to take Chris out to the hallway. And Candace is like, what the fuck? And Chris is like, I didn't even do anything. And he's like, Michael tells Ashley, that low-life redneck touched me. He touched me. It wasn't about me. Stop saying it's not about me. He touched me.
And he goes, I'm a respected businessman, and that guy's touching me. Maybe he forgot that I had a scene earlier this season where I told my wife I couldn't talk to her because I had a meeting at 1 p.m. and a PowerPoint that was due. I'm a businessman.
And then Chris is like, every chance he gets, he talks down to a woman. He will never do it to another fucking man because he's a bitch. I was like, actually, he did just do it to a man. Now, yeah,
you just talked down to a woman by saying he's a bitch. Yeah, but go on.
Yeah, he is an asshole. But yeah, exactly.
I think Chris is in the right here, but he is also like, he's right.
I don't think Chris is in the right.
I think that Michael does talk down to women, and he doesn't do it to men.
Well, he's right about that, yes.
That's what I'm saying. But then he goes, because he's a bitch, where I'm like, oh, but now you just kind of did it to
Chris.
Yeah,
no, I thought you meant he was in the right by, like, pushing Michael or whatever. And he's like, you can disrespect your wife all you want, but don't do it to mine. And then Karen's like, oh, I can't. I'm out. I can't be here for this. I can't be here. So she passes him in the hallway, and she's like, come here. Hug me, Candace. Hug me. Squirt, squirt. What is that? Tell your friends, it's La Dame. You've just been La Dame'd.
It's just insane. We can't go anywhere now without popping off. Thankfully, I had no incidents when I went to HSN selling my product, La Dame, squirt, squirt.
And she's like, we are so much better than that. And Candace is like, some of us are, Karen. And now Candace is mad that Karen is mad that Chris got physical or whatever. So Candace is like, well, everything I thought I knew about my friendship with Karen, I'm discovering that she has given me a series of shady, disloyal, fake crap.
It's called Seasons 1 through 5 of Real Housewives of Potomac. I suggest you set your DVR, Candace.
So then we start getting the end clips of, like, the place cards or whatever. Yes. What do you call them?
Just like it's like the ending. Closing
after all these years. Yeah, I don't know. Like, so epilogues. Karen and Ray are still working on their marriage, and she's not willing to work less or say the three words he wants to hear. Move to Florida.
Move to Florida. Candace is determined to move forward with her life. She and Chris plan to start baby making in the fall. She wants to avoid having an Aquarius baby because they are crazy. Her mother is an Aquarius.
And then in the car, we see Chris getting in his car, and he's like, what he needs is for someone to put his hands on him, and I'll do it.
And then Robin and Juan plan to build a new home in the DMV area and to eventually have an island destination wedding. Juan hasn't mentioned if Michael Darby will be invited to the bachelor party. And for all of you guys who are waiting for that island destination wedding, it will be Staten Island.
the island of Staten Island.
It's so then, be in Island's restaurant.
When Wendy is still speaking about politics on television, and her mother is proud but wants her to stay professional for bragging rights. And yeah. Giselle and Jamal's daughters are more accepting now, but he still lives on her phone.
Mm-hmm. So now Ashley and Michael take their phones, microphones off. And Michael walks into, I guess, the back area where the producers are set up. And he's like, why do you have them on this show? The lowlives that do this. Why do you have them on here? And the producer's like, you can't be in here. Of course I can. You don't have the right to this. You own this. You own this.
And then did someone touch him or did he touch someone? Because someone said, don't touch me.
I'm not sure. Someone said, don't touch me. And then Ashley's like, they're doing their job. He's like, no, they're not. No, they're not. And then he slaps her hand away.
Yeah. And so everybody's like dragging him out. Basically, security has to drag him out now. And he's like, what are you doing? Everyone's touching me all over. And it's disgusting.
Security guards are touching me all over. I can't believe it. Man, if they ever found out that I had a gun in my crotch. Oh, don't touch me there, security guard.
And then the security guard tries to take him out, and he like flips the guy's collar, which is exactly what Monique did to Candace. It's like, oh, the full circle of all of this. So Ashley's yes. screaming, stop, you're embarrassing the fuck out of me, stop it. So she walks off all upset, and then he's on the sidewalk on his phone and his shirt's untucked because he's Rebel Michael now. And yeah. she's like, have I ever acted like you just did in that hallway? Oh, my God. And then their card comes up and it says, the next day they went on vacation to the Bahamas and they're pregnant again. And they say their relationship has never been better.
Wow. It makes me really wonder what we don't see on camera from Michael. I thought the whole thing was really, it was gross. It was like funny to watch, but it was also like really gross behavior.
Well, it's gross every time. And from what we've seen on the show, they had a prenup, right? So they had to renegotiate the prenup that he didn't want to sign. And then she had a baby and then another baby. Like, what is it? Why are you with Michael? What?
I know. Like, I mean, he's clearly, by the way, acting out the legacy of his father, too, right? He said his father drinks too much and then would yell at him. I'm like, well, look what you are. So, and then
well,
we finally...
I'll tell you this. I'm not a failed businessman that's bold.
No touching. So, now we go back to Monique and what's happened with the case. And Monique's like, well, we were both at a point where we were able to look at the footage that we had of the fight, and the court decided it was a mutually consented fight, so they dropped both complaints, and guess what? You're not going to send me to jail because you're embarrassed because you got dragged when you asked not to, when you asked to get dragged.
And then she laughs. She's like, ah! Look at this, like, big, huge, head thrown back laugh, and then they slow it
like
down.
Like, echoes it.
And then
they
echo
like,
it.
Make it echo. Like, oh. Oh. Which also shows that they were on her side, by the way. They were like, ha ha, like she literally gets the last laugh.
Yeah, but I thought they were trying to make her look like a total villain because like the screen goes to gray and you just hear the evil echoing.
Could be that too, but I think it was sort of like, I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell.
Because Candace got the last word, actually.
That's true.
And because they said Monique got her revenge by recording a song called Drag Queens about the whole incident. And then we go to Candace, and she's like, there were so many lies being spewed at the hands of Monique, her trash lawyer, and their team. And it turned me off. It turned off the court system. The court system was like, you know what? This evidence is just not classy enough for us, okay?
Let's focus on that double homicide where someone got disemboweled by a rhinoceros tusk. How about that? So, she said, they just made it look like reality TV fodder. I'm like, well, I hate to break it to you, Candace, but it was kind of reality TV fodder, and it kind of powered the entire season. So, yeah.
So she's like, well, I have been betrayed by someone I trusted. I might as well have been kikiing with the devil. And that's how it ends. She's just crying with her little folded up napkin.
She has her napkin. She goes, this is not healthy. This is not healthy. I don't know. I think Monique came out triumphant in that because it was kind of like she had to bite her tongue. She had to be really good. And then in the end, like, yes, Monique started it. And I feel like she faced the consequences of it, which is that she basically was cut out of shooting for the second half of the season. and she didn't get to go to Madeira. And she got her consequences, and then finally the case was thrown out, and she could be like, fuck that bitch. The end.
Yeah. So that brings us to the end of the season, not the whole season, the end of, you know, the regular episodes. Season. And then I think there's four parts to the next reunion.
Four?
I
really?
Think so. That's what I heard. But, you know, I heard it from that old housewife, Sechelle Medea. So who knows if it's true.
Wow. I feel like they would advertise that. They would say it's the biggest Potomac thing of all time.
Yeah. But I don't know. We will find out next week. That is not my hand on your ass. I don't know why you're accusing me of that. You touched me.
You're going to jail. You're going to jail. So tomorrow we have the season premiere of Real Housewives of Atlanta. And guess what? Due to popular outcry, we're also going to talk Below Deck. So
yes,
it's back. Below Deck is back, baby. So Atlanta and Below Deck together at last.
Yeah. So we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D. The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors,
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.